The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Do you have a heavy metal related business? Do you promote concerts? Do you sell t-shirts, music, instruments, alternative lifestyle products? Then come advertise with us. Radioactive Metal is the perfect place to promote your business. Go to advertisecast.com/780 to see all of our advertising options.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
This is Colin Young from Twitching Tongues, and you're watching Radioactive Metal, brother. You're listening to it. You're not watching it. What am I doing? You're crazy.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. Horns up! This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
Horns up, everyone! Welcome to a slip of the tongue episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 495, and I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
And this is Aaron and Seabiscuit.
Hey, bros, what's going on? I don't even know where to go with that. What the hell?
You're not going to ask? I mean, you got to ask.
No, but I will.
Oh, all right. Well, so, you know, I figure if you're going to ride my nuts like they're a thoroughbred, I want them to have a championship name.
Okay, this has got fuck all to do with anything that we're talking about.
It has everything to do with what we talk about. Pretty much every episode you ride my nuts. In group
of course
meet,
I
you
do.
Ride
but,
my nuts. But so you if have, you're going to you ride have... my nuts, I want them to have a championship name. Seabiscuit.
Okay. Or Secretariat.
Yeah, but there's absolutely no context for that for our listeners.
Last week you were actually saying that, last episode there was a mention of that on the episode about riding his nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Should I call it Space Mountain so it's more relevant?
Yeah, but when you just say Seabiscuit, like, okay, that's a horse, I guess.
Yes, and I've said you're riding my nuts like they're a thoroughbred.
Okay, then, dude, go with Manowar then. Come on, step up
Manowar's
your metal
a horse?
Game. Manowar's
a horse.
Yes.
See, I didn't know that either. So,
Space Mountain it is.
How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm drinking dragon smoke.
Oh boy, right we're now. In for a good one.
Right on, good. Yeah, I have to admit, I am in like a super fantastic mood. It's Saturday night as we are doing this, and I've had one kick-ass weekend so far. And I don't know, it might continue later tonight.
Hey,
and in tomorrow. So hey,
yeah, tomorrow as we speak is the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. So hey,
it is. Yeah. Which since you kind of brought it up, I just wanted to say hello and horns up to our buddy Rock here. As when you go on YouTube, and I finished their airing on YouTube MLW Major League Wrestling's Road to the World Title.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed some geek in a Radioactive Metal t-shirt was like in every other shot.
Yeah, every time a wrestler comes in. Yeah.
Every time there was one that came up. It's like, who's that spaz sullying our good name? Oh, shit, it's Rock.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, God, it's Rock himself. Oh, my God, it's the metal god himself. Ooh.
That's right. Right on. But, oh, man, I got to say, you know, total horns up for you getting that close to our former... Our creature feature, Priscilla Kelly there, man. Holy
yeah.
shit.
Yeah, she gave me a look at one point, because she came out like three times, right? And right. At one point, one of the times she came out, she actually smirked at me. Like, I don't know if she saw my shirt or what, that she kind of smirked at me and kept going. I was like, oh, wow, that's cool.
I know. Is that fucking nerd that I spoke to on the phone there?
Yeah, well, I keep tagging her on stuff all the time, you know, on Instagram and on Twitter and stuff. So, I mean, she knows the name Radioactive Metal, right? So that's what I'm saying. She probably saw the shirt and is like, oh, there's that guy.
There he is. But, oh, yeah. Oh, she's so horns up for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hope just for bigger and better things for her.
Oh, definitely.
Indeed.
She's going to go far.
Yeah. And before we get on with everything, you guys following the Olympics at all?
No.
I've watched curling.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Because Canada's not exactly tearing it up, you know, with hockey and curling in both the men's and the women. And that's the thing that I seem to enjoy the most. Because actually in the White House here, like the X Games, that's our Olympics. Okay. But, you know, this happens every 4 years. So you kind of got to pay attention. Unfortunately, Canada's not doing so well. But I want to say hello and horns up to Yvette Toth, a Hungarian figure skater. I don't know if you guys have seen this yet, but Google Yvette Toth on YouTube. She competed. She's a figure skater, and she was competing at this year's Winter Olympics. And she did her routine, black leather outfit, leather vest with studs, to Back in Black and Thunderstruck.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
Man, I missed that one.
Yeah, you do not see this all the time.
Okay. That's meaning never.
And when that came up, you know, on my interwebs, like I had to check that out. And it's like, oh, my God, this is awesome. You know, and unfortunately, Mrs. Toth didn't even contend, but, you know, that's been the highlight of the Olympics for me, just for that very reason, you know, like that's the metalhead in me. That's the, you know, let's get behind our own and all that. And Frankie Kazarian from Ring of Honor, he tweeted about it saying, yeah, well, they buried her and all that just because she's, you know, She did it to AC/DC, and the stuck-up judges didn't like that and all that. But she's definitely a winner in my heart, for sure. So horns up to Yvette Toth and all that. And
Real quick, the hockey this year, did they allow any NHL players?
You know what? I don't know. See, that's what I said. I've said so
yeah,
much
I haven't heard much about it.
On and yeah.
I mean, I thought you said you were following it, though. Wouldn't you have recognized any
NHL
players?
I am.
Am I calling you out? Yes, I am.
No. I am, but I'm in and out. I'm doing what I can. Hey, I'm a busy guy. I just know that we're not really tearing it up.
Okay.
Yeah, for a country that's perpetually in winter, I was expecting more this year.
Now, that's the ugly American in you coming out again. Come up here in the summertime, my friend.
It's quite lovely.
You can call me an ugly American all you want.
You can call me Ray. You can call me Jay, but don't call me dude. I'm sorry.
if you think about this, Snowy, you're a Winnipeg Jets fan, right?
Sure.
And if I'm not mistaken, you were also a Toronto Blue Jays fan.
By default, if we had a major league team in the secondary market, which would never happen, that would be my team.
Right, and so I just want to point out that you know two of your big sports teams are in American leagues. So you know, call me an ugly American all you want, but without America, you wouldn't have sports.
Okay, well, considering
we build that wall, you're
screwed. The NHL started in Canada, buddy.
I believe basketball started in Canada as well. Yep. So
and it's done so well that it stayed there.
True.
Well, you're welcome, Snowy. You're welcome.
Okay.
Welcome
yeah.
Looking for your hockey.
Let's see how much loose sleep I lose over sports ball. Okay. Shall we get on with this?
Oh, he's the one who calls it sports ball, and he's the one who follows sports the most out of us.
Nobody follows sports on this podcast more than you do. I remember the episode.
Oh, God, we're not that. Are we so far off the rails already?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we might as well be, right? Because I remember the episode when the Winnipeg Jets came back to the NHL. Like, dude, like it was the hard-on scene around the world. Like, man, you're excited. So you know, you're welcome, Stoney. You're welcome. Say thank you and move forward.
Thank you, Aaron. Yeah, you're welcome. We got a wicked creature feature tonight. and maybe let's get on with it.
We wander the streets living intense metal lives. Find out what we did in The Metal Fix.
Okay, who's done what to who this week? I want to hear all about it.
Let me give you my metal fix.
Okay.
So, one, I've been checking out the band Sleep.
Okay, cool.
Right, so I heard them on I said last time, my wife got me an XM subscription for Christmas, and it's been nice to have Liquid Metal back and listen to Jose Mangan again. And so I heard Sleep. I'm like, damn, I got to check this out. The track that I had heard was Holy Mountain, so I went on Spotify and checked out the rest of the disc, and I really liked the entire album. Like, man, but the funny thing is the picture they have of them on Spotify, I would never peg them at all for a doom band. Looking at that picture, I would expect like 70s disco. But then that's kind of what led the conversation in GroupMe, where Snowy's writing Seabiscuit, you know, about how do you discover new music? And I'm taking shit for that because I've been struggling to discover new music. And I'm going to use Spotify more because as I'm looking up Sleep, it's like suggesting all these other bands that are similar to Sleep. I'm like, oh, wait a second, I heard of that one. And yeah, I know I like those guys. So, okay, I need to kind of dive down this rabbit hole more. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, so, you know, we talked last week about getting Disciple magazine. And so I had my day off over the weekend, and I decided I'm going to go out to find a Barnes & Noble and find Disciple magazine. I told you guys I wasn't at home. Yeah, I'm in a different city, Columbia, South Carolina.
All
right. So, Snowy, I'm pretty sure you're a Walking Dead fan, right?
The first four seasons, I guess. Like, okay. We just started getting busy on Sunday nights, and I don't have that DVR thing and all that. And so I kind of lost track of it. But, yeah, I was.
You've seen it, so you're aware of it. And oh, yeah. I'm sure you're aware of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's not filmed in Columbia, South Carolina, to the best of my knowledge.
No,
but it's in Georgia. I'm looking
for this Barnes & Noble, right? And I go to this mall, and I'm like up on top of like a parking garage. It just looks desolate. I find the entrance because it's saying Barnes & Noble this way. Sign Barnes & Noble goes straight through, I think it was Belk or Kohl's or something like that. Mm-hmm. Whatever store it told me when I got to the bottom of the escalator, it's boarded up.
Oh.
And I'm looking around. I'm like, okay, well, I can just go around here because I saw some lights on. I start walking. All the stores are boarded up.
Damn.
Like, is this place really even open? Like, is this an abandoned mall? Because, I mean, there's a movie theater people were going in and out of. But, I mean, like, as you're walking through the mall, there's just, like, just trash just kind of littered and layered like you'd see, like, in a Walking Dead abandoned, you know, somebody's going to jump out at you. Pretty much every horror movie you've ever seen starts, like, what I was walking through. And I'm like, fuck. So I'm driving around. I can't figure out how to get out of there now that I've gotten in there. And I called the Barnes & Noble. I'm like, where are you guys? They're like, well, we're in the Richland Mall. I'm like, so I'm there, but I can't find you. I'm up by the movie theater. Oh, well, you need to come down through the parking garage. All right. I'm not claustrophobic. This is the lowest clearance I've ever seen in a parking garage in my life.
Oh, yeah.
So as I'm driving through, I'm like, shit, is my car even going to fit through here? And I'm in a tiny little compact car. I'm like, is it really going to fit? And it's just getting darker and darker. I'm like, what the fuck? Where am I going? Finally, I see light. I'm like, thank God, right? The heavens are opening. And then I pull out. There's the Barnes & Noble. And you know, and the funny part is, like, the Barnes & Noble is, like, the most active thing in that mall. There's all kinds of people there. People are going in and out. But then if you look, like, on the other side of the glass, it's just abandoned. And it's weird. A huge mall, and it's just abandoned.
Wow.
It's just crazy, yeah. And then so I'm texting one of my friends. I'm like, hey, the Richland Mall, like, have you ever heard of it? Like, she's like, no. And she's like, well, that place, yo, you might get stabbed there. I'm like, really? I'm like, because there's nobody here. And she's like, wait a second. Richland Fashion Mall? That place closed when I was a kid, didn't it? You know, like, I don't know. I'm like, well, if I go missing, you know where to start looking, you know, because I'm like, seriously, like, thinking somebody's going to, like, snatch me at any moment, you know. That's so crazy. That was my metal fix, man. I think it's about as metal as it gets, man. Like, someplace where I could, like, literally just be, like, abducted by a zombie.
You know? It doesn't sound like a nice place to visit. Ooh.
No. Well, it all depends. Maybe on a Friday night. Who knows? Depending on how adventurous you are.
Well, exactly. Because I started walking. I'm like, you know what? No. I'm like, I'm not. I turned around. I'm like, no. Because I've seen enough horror movies to know how this ends. You
know? Especially you're in a town you don't know and stuff. And
that's exactly it. You know? And the thing is, like, this is a big city. It's bigger than the city that I live in. And here we have 3 Barnes & Nobles, all a decent size. You know, so, I mean, I guess that does kind of defeat Snowy's jab about none of us can read. But, you know, so I was expecting, like, a few different Barnes & Nobles up there, and there's just this one. It's not that big. And like I said, like, it's an abandoned mall, pretty much. Yeah, it was scary.
Crazy.
That's the time. That's mine. So, yeah.
Okay, what do you got, dude?
Kind of a offbeat podcast I was listening to. Well, Snowy, I'm sure you know the person. I don't know if you've ever listened to her podcast, but Lillian Garcia.
Yeah. One of the 800 million wrestling celebrity podcasts that I've said fuck this to. Yeah.
Well, the thing is that she, well, it used to be a wrestling podcast, but now it's more like she wants to talk to anybody, so she switched to podcast one, and, you know, now she's open to anybody. But right up till now, it's been all wrestling, but except for this week, where I was like, oh, really, this person? Okay. She had Nita Strauss from the Alice Cooper Band.
Oh, really?
Oh, no way.
Now you got my attention.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I was like, oh, okay. And the thing is, with Lillian Garcia, I don't know how she does it. She's very motherly when she talks to the people. Oh, like, oh, really? Well, how did that go? Oh, you know, oh, tell me about your feelings. You know, it's kind of like that, you know, but somehow she extracts all these stories out of these people where sometimes they start crying and stuff. I'm like, oh my God, you know,
wow.
And she does this with the wrestlers. You know, I'm like, holy shit. So I was like, how is this going to be? But, you know, there was no crying, but she was pulling out stuff out of Nita. And Nita said, she says, wow, you're really good, because I've never told this to anybody. And, you know, but, you know, there was a little bit of talk of her playing with Alice Cooper, but not much, you know. I guess she was on because she was promoting. She has a new instrumental album coming out soon. So that's
right on.
That's why she was on there. But a few things, I took some notes and that I thought were really interesting, because, you know, yeah, it was a great interview, but, you know, unless you're a fan of Nita Strauss, it's not something that I think most of our listeners are gonna seek out. But a few notes that I thought were really interesting is, like, when she had just started playing guitar, but she was, you know, she was a beginner. She was just, you know, just kind of learning and not really super interested in it. But, you know, it's just kind of strumming and stuff. She said she was watching the movie Crossroads. With Ralph Macchio, right?
I love that movie.
I have it on DVD. I love that movie. And she said she was watching it, and she said, you know, she was barely playing at the time, like I said. And you know, Steve Vai is in the movie. He plays he's a guitar player who plays for the devil. You know, he's the devil's guitar player, basically. And
Jack Butler,
and he gets basically challenged by Ralph Macchio's character, you know, to win a contest for a soul. I can't even remember if it was for a soul, somebody's soul, was it for his friend's soul or whatever?
Anyway, yeah, for Blind Dog Fulton.
Yeah, the man who taught him how to play guitar, right?
No, he was the blues guy. He was looking for the lost song of Robert Johnson.
Okay, all right. So,
I love this movie. It's like, been so long. I obsess a little too much.
Okay, it's been so long. But so, of course, my favorite scene is when Steve Vai and Ralph Macchio are going head to head, you know, playing guitar and stuff. But she said she's watching the movie, and she said she remembers she was laying down on the floor in the living room, and I guess she was there with her parents or whatever. They're watching the movie, and then she's watching Steve Vai playing, and then she said, I literally sat up. And I turned to my folks and I said, why hasn't anybody told me you could do that with a guitar?
That's awesome.
And that's when became serious about learning, you know. So I thought, wow, that's a really cool story, because I love that scene where they do the duel and stuff. So,
that's one of the best recorded guitar duels, I think, ever. And it's all one guy. It's just Steve Vai.
Yeah. Well, Ry Cooder also plays some of the stuff.
But not in the duel, though.
I don't know. I know that the bluesy stuff is all played by Ry Cooder. I know that.
But like when they do like the classical duel though at the end, that's all Steve Vai.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I figured as much. Yeah. Another thing that I thought was cool, because she was saying how, you know, she was raised by a single mom, and she would, you know, spend half her time with her mom, half her time with her dad. So they didn't have a whole lot of money. So she was self-taught. You know, she never took any lessons. But what she would do is she would go to her friend's house. Her friend was taking lessons. So she would borrow her notes and all her paperwork, and then she was learning that way, you know, by jamming with her friends, basically.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, and then she said at the time, you know, her friend never really pursued guitar like she did, but she said her friend had a red Ibanez guitar that was signed by Steve Vai. And she said, and the funny thing is, she's endorsed by Ibanez now, right? And that's what she was saying. She's a new endorsee. And she said she actually saw her friend a little while ago, and she asked her if she still had that guitar. She says, yeah. She says, I think it's in my dad's garage or something. Well, through the power of fate and all that stuff, the guitar is coming. Because she said that she would basically, when she would go to her friend's house to practice on a good guitar, she would practice on that red guitar, you know. And she was saying how Steve Vai's autograph would bring her power, you know, somehow, and make her play better, you know. And that's awesome. So she's always loved that guitar. And when she would get home, she would play on this cheap ass, you know, guitar and stuff. So she said she really always loved playing with that guitar. Well, because she was able to reconnect with her friend, well, that guitar, she's buying basically that guitar from her friend. So awesome. It's coming into her possession soon. She said it's actually on its way. It's, you know, going full circle. You know, she started learning on that guitar, and now it's coming back into her life, you know. So it's pretty cool.
That's great. Yeah, I love stories like that.
Yeah, and she tells a story when she got to meet Steve Vai for the first time. It was at a NAMM show. And she said, I was fangirling so much. You know, he was talking to me, and I was just like, hi. Yes, sir. I love you, sir. Basically, you know. So yeah. So it's an interesting interview. You know, if you're a fan of Nita Strauss, you know, people should look it up. It's a podcast by Lillian Garcia called Chasing Glory. So just check it out.
Okay. I'm going to, because like I said, there's just so many, like a couple quote unquote celebrities, they do it, and then like they've all just piled onto it and all that. And so I just every week I hear about a new celebrity that's doing some podcast now, and I'm like, oh, there are so many great podcasts out there that they're trying to monetize it. All they care about and all that. So it's hard for me to totally get into it, but when there's a half decent guest on it, you know, that I might actually think they've got something to say instead of towing a company line or something, then that's something to check out. And I definitely, yeah, right on, man. Thanks. I'll be checking that out.
Yep. So there you go. That's my metal fix.
Okay. Right on. Thank you. Well, for myself, Anthrax came through town last night.
Mm-hmm. You and your obscure bands.
Oh yeah. for sure. Last night, Anthrax came through town, and like it's not the first time I've seen them, but the majority of the time, they've kind of been support, in bigger venues and all that. Kiss and Iron Maiden, and they headlined an arena bowl themselves. The last time they came through town, they headlined this Burton Cummings Theater, you know, and last night was the exact same venue. And once again, I ended up getting some pretty kick-ass seats. I definitely can't complain. They came through town with Havoc. They were kind of the curtain jerker. There's a fucking band. Do not sleep on Havoc or their new album, Conformicide. This band is still tearing it up. Rock, you'll remember we've had them on in the past. And yep. They have, you know, a roundabout history with this show and all that. So I cannot, you know, emphasize it enough. Check this band out. They've definitely got it going on. And co-headlining with them was Killswitch Engage, another mm-hmm. band. Now, it's probably not a band that a majority of our listeners would get too far into, but I was kind of stoked to see them. I've got a majority of their back catalog, and it was the first time seeing them with their new old vocalist, Jesse Leach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the majority of the fans would know Killswitch with Howard Jones as vocalist, you know, because Leach appeared on the first record and then left, and then Jones replaced him, and then the band took off and all that. And now with the last
record. That's not unusual.
Yeah. The last record, Disarm the Descent, Leach came back, and this was my opportunity to finally see them with the original old vocalist, as I call it. And they tore it up. They tore it up. There was a good mix of, you know, everything that I wanted to hear, including, and spoiler alert, if you hadn't seen this yet, everyone take their earbuds out of their podcasts, out of their ears and all that for a second, because the last song, well, first of all, as the set was winding down, of course, one of the things that Killswitch is known for is their cover of Holy Diver.
Yeah.
Okay, like they did a video for it. And
well, which Howard Jones sang on.
Yeah. So I'm thinking to myself, and I'm kind of a wise guy, I'm thinking to myself, oh, I wonder if they're going to do Holy Diver. Sure enough, last song, Leach goes, I want everyone to put the horns up. Oh, fuck. Okay, it's a kick-ass version. But, okay, let's hear it. Halfway through the song, Mr. Belladonna comes out on stage.
Oh, wow.
No.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh. Did I mark out? So we got Joy Belladonna singing Holy Diver to Killswitch Engage and all that. And it's like, oh, fuck, that is a metal moment right there.
Cool.
Dude.
Yeah. And there's only one way you could top that. Is when Anthrax the Mighty themselves come out. And this is, you know, this is a smaller venue. I guess about 1,500 people, and it was pretty much to capacity. And this is the venue to see a band like this. They basically stuck with the quote-unquote classics and all that, and that's obviously the songs that the audience got the biggest reaction from. You know, the majority of the stuff was from Among the Living, some tracks off of Spreading the Disease and Persistence of Time, and some of the newer tracks as well. And it's just, you know, it was, since it was a co-headlining, you know, it was a little bit shorter than your usual headlining set, and they didn't do the whole okay, good night, and then they leave the stage for a minute and then come back on like they fooled us, you know. The encore, like, neither of the bands did that. And no, I don't have a problem with that, but I still get kind of sucked into it. I know what's going to happen, but I still dig that. But it's like, okay, with two headlining bands, we'll kind of let that go. So, it was just like a punk show. Just one great tune after another. Do the damage, get going.
Look at the set that you shared with us. Like, I'm looking at the set list, and it's just a killer set list. I mean, they open up with Among the Living. You said Cotton mm-hmm. Amash was next, and then Got the Time. So, Mad, is that Metal Thrashing Mad?
Madhouse.
Okay, yeah. So I wasn't sure it was Metal Thrashing Mad, Madhouse. Okay, Fight 'Em Till You Can't, Breathing Lightning, I Am the Law, Antisocial, Be All, End All, another classic, and then Indians and Medusa. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen New Medusa live.
That was the first time in a while, and I noticed that Frank Bello doesn't do the back vocals for that anymore. You know the point in the song where they go, Medusa!
Medusa!
I remember years ago seeing them do that, and Bello tried doing that, and every time he went to do that, he would just look at Scott, you know, with a smile on his face as if to say, see, I told you I couldn't do it.
Maybe he was under the weather a little bit.
Kick him in the balls, he'll be fine.
I noticed Frank doesn't do it anymore, and I'm good with that. I'm good with that. It was definitely a fantastic show, and I've been an Anthrax fan since fucking day one, and every time they've come through town, I've caught them, and it's actually one of our bands, Mrs. White and I. Every time they come, she doesn't go to a lot of these shows with me and all that. She's kind of over all the brutal death metal that she's put up with the last 30 years. But Anthrax is definitely a band that she will come out for. And she had a hell of a time. Okay, and I want to say hello and horns up to her. I want to give her all sorts of credit. And my good buddy Ninja Cat Erica as well. Because, first of all, with Mrs. White, She's a smaller lady. She's 5 foot. She's just a little thing, okay? Mm-hmm. So she has a hard time seeing. We're on the floor. We ended up with tickets on the floor. And, you know, if there's people in front of her, she has a hard time seeing. The pit opened up, okay, which she now has this great view of the stage. But we're right beside the pit.
You're at the edge of the pit.
Yeah. We're right at the pit. And we've gone on saying how you got to be careful. It's deadly. It's dangerous. I'm starting to think, should we be here? But she said, no, I got a good view of the pit. And it's like, okay, well, I'm with her. I can protect her. Someone gets a little too close, I give them a little push or, you know, I'm there. It turns out I really didn't have to worry about her too much because she was putting up quite a fight herself. Really, it got to a point where someone would get by and she'd give them a shove and, you know, don't fuck with me and all that.
Nice.
So, yeah, you got to give her a lot of credit, you know, where a lot of people, a lot of even bigger guys would have went scurrying. She said, fuck you. This is where I want to be. This is where the action is. This is where I can see. And she toughed it out. She knew she was going to be sore today and all that. But, hey, she did her rock and roll duty. I also want to say thanks for a fantastic evening with my buddy Erica, who went to work yesterday sicker than a dog, did an entire shift, came to the show, rocked out with us, and then had to get up early, what is today, to do another shift. So you know how I'm always talking about the measuring stick and all that? Mm-hmm. She's giving me a run for it. Gotta say hello and horns up, and you ladies are just absolute troopers.
But yeah, sure. She's also half your age, isn't she?
yeah.
Makes it a little bit easier.
She is, but still.
Yeah, I know.
I know a lot of guys that would.
I've got my hand raised up. Yeah, that's me.
Your time's coming, man. You got to get up here and you got to run with us, man.
I don't know if I can hang. Jesus. You guys are hardcore.
I discovered some cool... Well, I discovered this real cool podcast. Back in the heydays of the old underground metal and punk zines, the late 80s, early 90s, the whole black and white thing, which I kind of got involved in myself, there was a really cool one out of Mexico called Mutilator. They went on for about 4 years, and you know, they were kind of a staple within that whole scene. Juan Carlos, the editor of that fine publication, is now doing a podcast called Mutilation, where it's just basically himself just introducing some wicked, wicked, oh my God, such cool stuff from that time period, meaning late 80s, early 90s, brutal underground death and thrash. The first episode had like the stuff from the first Death album, Mortuary, stuff from the first Sepultura record, the old Infernal Majesty, some DBC, just some wicked obscure stuff from that moment to a guy that was, you know, firmly involved in that scene. His second episode is out now, and he has some early Sodom, some Deadhead, some Scythian, and the original Necronomicon, the German one back from the 80s rock, to which Juan referred to as the true Necronomicon.
Oh, them are fighting words.
I don't know.
Them's
fighting words, Juan. Yep. Them's fighting words. But I can't implore everyone enough, please go check out this podcast. It just... Listening to him introduce these records and talk about it, and his English is very broken and all that, but it's just the enthusiasm that he still has for it, because he's got to be an old timer like us by now, you know, if not older, and he's talking about this wicked tunes from that. Everything just came rushing back. I'm getting chills and, you know, the goosebumps and all that as he's introducing. You know, E-Trope. Remember E-Trope from Chicago way back when, that they never really caught on?
Spelled with a Z.
Spelled with a Z, you remember, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, oh, to hear that in a podcast now, I got so excited. Yeah. As well, the Hellcast podcast, I was really getting into that. I'm not going to go into the whys and wherefores behind that because I talked about them so much. They were calling out Rob Halford as to, is he really the metal god? And okay. they kind of called him out for his two project. Remember when he left Priest and he did that Nine Inch Nails type project?
He was just doing something different.
Yeah. They called him out for that, and they went through Rob Halford's top 10 best metal albums of all time. And you got to remember, the Hellcast guys, these guys are firmly entrenched in the underground. They're the guys behind the Hell's Headbangers record label. So they've kind of got that elitist thing going on, and sometimes that's what I want to hear. So when they're going through Rob Halford's top 10 greatest albums of all time, and Halford puts over Slipknot and Korn, and then they go ballistic over that. Like, that's just good listening. whether or not, it's just that's the great thing about metal and all that. Whether or not you agree with what someone's saying, you might not like what they're saying. If they can put their point over in like a half decent way and an entertaining way, which I think that's what we've done for 11 years on this show, whether or not you agree with it or not, you should be able to get into it and enjoy it for what it is. And that's definitely, I know I found myself pissing myself laughing out loud on the bus listening to this. You know, but that's actually nothing new for me. A really cool record that came across my desk is the new Scumpulse record, simply titled Rotten. It's the first time I had heard of this band. Kind of picture a black metal with a little bit of crust thrown in there. It's a really cool sound, and came out on Gorehouse Production Records, which that's kind of a new label to me as well. I was doing a little research and kind of think Extreme Music or Comatose Records or Severed Records, you know, and that's kind of an idea what Gorehouse is. It's definitely something I'm going to give a little more attention to, just kind of cranking other tunes. The new Mass Grave is really cool. Some cranking some Extremity. And today, as we speak, the new Wake album, Misery Rites, is out. And I was cranking that as well. And that band is coming to town very soon. I cannot wait. Our longtime listeners will remember we've had them on the show. That was the band Rock while you were soaking up the sun hanging out with Doro Pesh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was up here in the dead of winter talking to Wake.
I remember.
As you may recall. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Ah, fucker.
Well. Okay.
Made for a great memory and all that. And hopefully everyone will remember the new Scum Pulse. This is the title track from their new record, Rotten.
Yeah.
everyone go check out the new Scum Pulse. Now, I really dig, I like the word rotten, okay? Because you know how you have Bradgelina and all that bullshit and all that? When you take the first couple letters from Mrs. White's slave name and the last couple letters from my first name, and you kind of put them together in that sort of way, you come up with rotten. Check it out. It's true.
Well, we don't know your Okay.
Yeah.
See, you're telling this joke, but people don't know your real name. They don't know your wife's name.
Well, that's okay. I know, but when you put them together, deduction powers.
Put them together, and what do you get? Bibbidi bobbidi boo.
It's rotten. Yeah, for sure. Your kids are young, aren't they?
Just a little bit.
You know what? My little one is turning 26 soon. She is the biggest Disney mark. Oh my God. Every time I'm in the mall, I'm in the fucking Disney store.
Good thing she doesn't live here in Orlando.
Oh yeah. Oh,
she'd be at the Disney all the time. She'd have an annual pass.
Oh, I think so. I think so. Yeah. So check out that rotten song from Scum Pulse. Awesome stuff. Equally awesome is tonight's creature feature. Horns up to Metal Blade, definitely, for they seem to be really branching out, shall we say. A little while ago we had Harm's Way on, kind of immersed within the whole hardcore scene. And when you think Metal Blade, you think traditional metal, you think death metal, you think thrash, going all the way back to Betsy Bitch, way back in 1984 rock. You'll remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they seem to be branching out a little bit here and there, not only with the Wicked Harm's Way record, but they've also brought on Twitching Tongues. Now, this is another band that's kind of been firmly immersed within that hardcore scene that's kind of breaking their way out into the metal world as well. And I was really excited to see them signing on with Metal Blade and giving us their brilliant new record, Gaining Purpose Through Passionate Hatred. This is a band that originally came to my attention through the hardcore world when I was working at the old War on Music shop. And where was that, Aaron?
91 Albert Street, Winnipeg.
Thank you.
Can't believe you remember that.
No,
that's you know great. How many times that was said on this show? Winnipeg, 91, warmmusic.com, Winnipeg, 91 Albert Street.
I know.
Yeah, and I so appreciate the fact that you remember that. That's awesome.
I tried to block it out.
I was a fan before I ever came on board.
Right on. That's why we love you, pal. And that's why we love Twitching Tongues. That's how they came through.
Oh, that's not the only reason we love Twitching Tongues.
that might be a whole other podcast. And I just do not have enough lemmies in me right now.
Radioactive porn?
To get into that. Yeah. But this band definitely got my tongue wagging.
Your tongue
when
twitching.
People would come through, when I'm people sorry. Would come through and say, "Hey, what's this band all about?" Well, here, let me slap it on. Wicked hardcore band doing really cool shit on the Close Cast Activities label, and I pushed them to the moon, and with good reason. And when they came out into the metal world, I knew we definitely had to get vocalist Colin Young on the horn and get his whys and wherefores. And pay attention to this interview because, hey, it kind of left my head, you know, some of his family members and what they're doing within the metal world as well. So grab some, a cup of your...
Say it.
I'm trying to spit it out. Grab a cup of your favorite cold one, which I've got here in my Spider-Man mug. Can't go wrong with that on a Saturday night. And enjoy our chat with Twitching Tongue vocalist Colin Young.
God damn, this is dangerous, little red blood.
First and foremost, the thing that we want to talk about is your new record, Gaining Purpose Through Passionate Hatred, which I believe will be available March 9th, courtesy of Metal Blade Records. I imagine you're pretty stoked about this so far.
Couldn't be more stoked. I'm really excited that the time has finally arrived that we can show people what we've been working on for the last 2 years.
Wow, 2 years already. Like, is that the usual recording process for Twitching Tongues?
No, I mean, because you guys are busy. We took a little more time with this one just to make sure that we were over the moon, ecstatic about how it turned out, and that's how we're feeling. With the amount of work that we put into it and with the amount of creative minds we had on it this time versus our previous records, we're feeling good. We can't fucking wait to just have every song out there, because it's really hard to show a complete representation of the record with just one or two singles.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really looking forward to the whole thing being out there so that people can see what we're all about.
Right on, right on. Yeah, I know as soon as it drops, we'll do whatever we can to make sure that more and more people hear about it. What I wanted to mention right off the hop, though, about it is that's a pretty heavy-duty album title when you think about it. Like, what was the mindset behind that? Like, what's the idea behind that, or just anything about that that you might want to share?
It's definitely representative of our attitude going into writing this record and, you know, maybe taking some personal or collective failures and using the way that they made us feel as a tool to overcome them and to write a better record and to be a better band and give people a reason to support us.
Right on, right on. Well, I think it's definitely going in the right direction. The first single and the video, whatever a single is in the industry this day and age, Harakiri, am I pronouncing that properly?
Harakiri, it's pronounced.
Okay. I was sort of ballpark and all that. I gave the video, I gave the video a spin there, and I have some heavy-duty stuff with some really interesting imagery, shall we say. What's the idea behind that, if someone hasn't seen it before, and who is the mastermind behind that?
That was my idea. So this is kind of our first foray into the political arena when it comes to lyrical content, just because I'm feeling with the state of our country, if you have some sort of a platform and choose not to use it, then you just come off as kind of a bitch. Like, you're obviously just scared, or you're just an asshole. So, and I don't think you deserve to have a platform if you don't want to use it for things you feel you should stand up to. So that's kind of the whole deal with that one. And my goal with the video was, it was very simple. It was make a video that somebody's going to want to watch more than once. Because I feel like in this day and age, it's so easy for things to just come out, people enjoy them for a day, and then they move on, hoping that, you know, a year from now, somebody's like, oh, man, I really want to watch that again, and I can enjoy it just the same. Because music videos as a promotional tool are fine, but as a work of art to show the personalities of the band as a whole and the personalities of the members themselves is what we should be doing. It's what all bands should be doing.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I know exactly what you're saying. I remember, I'm old enough to remember, like, when MTV and Much Music up here in Canada first started and all that, and videos were something special that you always, you know, you had to make an appointment to see them, and it was something you would tape and rewatch over and over and over again. And you know what? I think that's a great point, and I'm going to find myself going back to that more and more, especially with who the American public elected into office this year. That's got to make me think that is the main idea behind that video.
100,000% correct.
we said it on the show many times, even like when he was elected. It's like, okay, you know what? There is going to be so much great music and videos and art and Saturday Night Live skits and all that. It's just going to be right off the hook, and it seems to be.
I mean, I'm hoping other bands do the same. It's definitely not something we were looking to, like, cash in on. I just felt like I couldn't not do something, you know.
Definitely.
I couldn't not say something when it's such a serious thing that's affecting our entire country.
Right on, right on. I'm glad it's guys like you that have this platform that can go out and have something to say about it. That's fantastic. Thank you. This is record number 2 for the Mighty Metal Blade, I believe.
This is Metal Blade number 2, and it's technically our 4th with Closed Casket, since they are part of the vinyl release of the record.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I didn't know that. I figured this was going to be outright with Metal Blade. Would you consider Metal Blade like this is your new home apart from these partnerships?
We'll see. You know, Closed Casket has definitely been part of our identity since, you know, almost since the band started. So I'm happy to be able to work with them and Metal Blade at the same time. You know, we'll see what the deal with Metal Blade is. I mean, they seem to be psyched on the record. We'll see how everything goes. One can only know so much, you know.
It only takes so many educated guesses, and time will tell.
Exactly.
Who kind of approached who with your deal with Metal Blade? Did they come up to you guys? Was it a friend of a friend? I know how these things work.
Yeah. So Andy from Every Time I Die is a good friend of theirs, and maybe 4 years ago, was talking to them about doing a record with us, and then that's how Disharmony came about. And they actually gave us backstage passes to King Diamond one day, and then we all went to that.
Nice.
So that was pretty funny. It was like, hey, come, all right, what's up, guys? Welcome, all right, come meet Andy LaRocque. So it was a real fucking Wayne's World moment for us that turned into a several album deal.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's excellent. I see, because I He's like, I ask this because I know Twitching Tongues, like, your sound can span a variety of subgenres and all that, but I have to think that the majority of your fan base kind of fall into the hardcore realm. And
yeah, I mean,
Metal Blade.
Like that's where we come from. Mm-hmm. And ethically, as a band, that's what we always have been and always will be about. And the goal for Metal Blade is to reach people that wouldn't have heard us otherwise, obviously. So, mm-hmm. You know, the more that they're able to do that for us, then the better things will turn out.
That's fantastic. And they kind of seem to be leaning towards that as well, because we just had Harm's Way on just a couple episodes ago now, and they were saying the same thing, like Metal Blade's opening up their doors to more different stuff than just traditional King Diamond type metal or death metal or anything like that.
They are, and I definitely think that recently it's kind of a recent thing with us and Harm's Way and whatever they decide to do next. It's cool that they're such a special genre to me is getting such proper recognition finally.
Yeah, very exciting. And this record, I think, is going to push that even further. You're going to be stepping out on tour soon with Hatebreed, and I believe you were doing some dates with them already last year.
We toured with them at the end of last year, and this is kind of like the second leg of that, technically.
Oh, okay.
This is really cool.
Okay.
We're really psyched about how this worked out time-wise with our record coming out, where it's like 6 days after the record, we're out.
Right on. And with this, like you went out with some metal bands, I believe, with Dying Fetus. And
yeah, they were on the tour as well.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And coming up on this one, you're playing with Crowbar.
Yeah,
two of the
hardest bands in the world in their own ways.
Yeah, definitely.
Sound nothing alike, but, you know, just and somehow between that are like two perfect bands for us to tour with.
Right, because that was going to bring me to my next question, that you might be exposing Twitching Tongues to a more metal audience. Are you finding, you know, are you kind of winning the metalheads over, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, on that tour we just did, it was like a slowly but surely kind of thing where we'd start playing and they'd be, and then by the end I could feel the whole room would be into it. So that was really cool to be able to just watch that progress in person. Mm-hmm. Live. That felt nice. Hopefully we can keep that going.
No doubt. It'll be very interesting to see, because I think Crowbar, they've been around for quite a while, and they might actually attract some of the more veterans, some of the old timers like me, you know. So I think you might be introducing your band to the previous generation, shall we say. And I think you got a good shot.
That would be great, because I mean, that's everything I listen to from that generation of music. So, and I feel like they're probably the most akin to us sonically band that we've maybe ever toured with. So I feel like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like a Crowbar fan that mm-hmm. is really familiar with their discography will relate to us more than the average extreme music fan.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That's how I see it.
Right on. I want to give you a chance to show a little love to some of your bandmates, not only in Twitching Tongues, but in some of your other projects as well. Your brother Taylor Young is not only in your band, but he's also a member of Nails.
Yeah, he plays drums in a little band called Nails.
Yeah. And they just had like a banner year last year. Yeah, now
they did. They had a good couple of years off their last record. Yeah.
Absolutely killer.
In the middle of that tour we're doing, Nails is touring Australia.
Right.
So he's got to leave for a few days, and we're going to play as a four-piece so he can do that.
Okay, because, yeah, you see, you knew exactly what I was getting at. It's like when you're in two prominent bands like this, is he going to be spreading himself a little thin? Is he up for the challenge?
And it's really rare that things conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm psyched that we're in a position where we can just say, hey, yeah, go do that. We'll be fine. And rather than turn the whole tour down, you know?
Right. Oh, you definitely don't want to do that.
No.
Right on. And he's probably going to, you know, want as much experience as that he can get in as well. So good on him. Good on him. As well, a band that we've talked about recently, because around here on this show, a couple of the hosts, we're wrestling fans.
All right, love it.
Matter of fact, as we speak, I've even got Raw on in the background, and we spoke very highly of the band God's Hate.
There you go.
Which is another one of your projects, and of
that's
course,
me.
The vocalist Nate goes by the I don't know if I'm breaking kayfabe here, but he's going by the name.
I don't
Brody
know a Nate.
King.
I don't know any Nates. I know a Brody King. I'm not sure.
Okay, that's what I want to hear. Well, we've had. We've spoken very highly of Brody King just as we're talking. As a matter of fact, my co-host he lives in Orlando, and he's been seeing Mr. Right. King perform the MLW promotions and all that. Are you a wrestling fan?
Big time. And I'm Brody's number one fan and supporter. I couldn't be more proud of the worker that he has become. Mm-hmm. The recognition that he's getting after just a couple of years in the business.
For sure. See, you're answering all my questions in advance, because I was going to say, have you ever seen him? Have you ever seen him perform? Like, I imagine.
Of course,
Right. Well, you know, with conflicting schedules, and it just you never know. It might not just. It could be something you just never got to. But
so I trained at Santino Bros Dojo twice and was like, okay, this is not for me. and then he was like, hey, what if I'm gonna give it a try, let's see how this goes, and Brody King was born. That's cool.
Well, it is definitely. What did you discover first, like aggressive music or pro wrestling?
It was maybe at the same time where I realized I loved both things.
Okay, what
was
year
was
that?
It was probably like in like late 90s, in the heyday of the Attitude Era. They sucked everybody in. They sucked me in too.
Right.
And they lost me in like 2004 or 5 for a couple of years, and then got me back. And then once great independent wrestling was just such a more easily accessible thing via the internet, it was just. It's so easy to be a wrestling fan now, because I wouldn't call it oversaturation, but there's just so much incredible wrestling that there's something for everybody and for every kind of specific facet of wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm. Right on. You think maybe there's aggressive music in pro wrestling seems to be, you know, becoming bedfellows more and more now. You ever see Twitching Tongues maybe playing a live event?
I would love to. I would kill to do that. And the fact that these two things weren't bedfellows much earlier is such an insane thing when you think about the nature of both. But mm-hmm. like wrestling chooses to just like, and it's like the way that they've been doing it, where they got Code Orange to play, they got a Power Trip song, they got and Brendan from Incendiary singing on an entrance track. It should have always been that way. I don't know what took so long.
Well, ECW was doing pretty good in that department with some of their entries.
No, I totally agree. But overall, when they collaborate with people, it's with some like hack job new metal band who people only know as, oh, that's the guys that did Orton's theme song, man. What's up, Vipers? Let's go. Rather than, oh, that's that fucking sick band they had play. They're hard as fuck.
Right. That's the spirit. That's the spirit.
Yeah. That's what we want. These two things go hand in hand. Aggressive storytelling and aggressive music. They were born to be connected.
Excellent. Yeah, I feel that way as well. I won't take up too much more of your time. I'm just maybe let everyone know what's going on with the band, you know, to promote this record. Yeah, you're going on tour and all that, but what's going to happen in the next, you know, the next year? You look in your crystal ball for Twitching Tongues.
The crystal ball says yes. It says we'll be busting our asses for the next year indefinitely and beyond. We're going to bust our asses like they've never been busted before. So hopefully we can play in the next 365 days to everybody on earth who wants to see our band.
Okay, well, I'm up here in the middle of the frozen tundra of Canada, and I want to see you guys up here crossing the country ASAP.
Are you in the middle of Canada?
I'm in Winnipeg, yeah.
Okay. You're from Winnipeg, you idiot?
Yeah, we're crazy enough, yeah. We're crazy enough to live up here.
All right, well, let's see. Maybe we can get to Winnipeg.
Thank you.
It'll be us and Fozzie. Turn it up.
Sounds good. And then we can get Brody to Winnipeg. Do a run-in on the middle of the fighting set.
Just us and some Winnipeg fucking legends ripping it up. Let's go.
Right on. Perfect.
Is the rest of Fozzie from Winnipeg, or are they just guys?
It's just Jericho.
Wow. What a traitor. I'll trade her to Winnipeg.
That's okay. That's okay. He comes back quite often, and we like the idea of him. Like when he comes out on Raw, they say he's from Winnipeg, not like from New York or Florida and all that.
No, I love that. I love that. Brody does the same thing. He's billed as from Van Nuys, California, rather than the greater Los Angeles area, and I pop every time.
Right on. You got the lingo down. I like that.
Yeah, I'm good.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
You guys suck. You guys suck.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at InconclusivePod or Facebook.com/InconclusiveBreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Run, do not walk. Run to your coolest record store and make sure you pick up Gaining Purpose Through Passionate Hatred, the new record from Twitching Tongues. Thank you, everyone involved with bringing that. That's definitely a band we probably should have had on the show. And I say that a lot because there are just so many great fucking bands that I want to get to and that, you know, needs our attention and all that. That is definitely one we should have had on a while ago, but it's a good thing that we got it on now. Everyone, go check that out. How's everyone doing? Do you want to go another 3 hours? I'm up for it. What about you guys?
What? Huh? Hmm? I'm fading.
Okay. Well, like I said, I want to go out on a tune from Anthrax. How about Breathing Lightning from the latest record? And, of course, I want to throw that out to my darling wife and my awesome friend, Erica, for just that was an awesome night last night. And a big part of that was because of them. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been a slip of the tongue episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
And this is Aaron and Seabiscuit.
Signing off.
iTunes for past episodes and write a review.
Listen to us live every Thursday night on PureRockRadio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all the other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to RadioactiveMetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.